Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
There are a couple of different Sundays in which we take time to specifically think about certain very specific aspects, very specific ways in which God displays His goodness and His glory and His grace to us. For example, on Easter, we celebrate the specific grace of the promise that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus, that we are no longer bound by death, that there is life after death, eternal life that is given to us because of Jesus' resurrection, right? On Christmas, we are reminded of God's grace, of His being with us, His presence actually with us, and the wonder that that displays. On other days, like on Mother's Day, we look at, and this is really good for us to think about different characteristics of God in His graciousness to us that is displayed through different roles that God has provided within the family. And one of the roles that God has provided that visibly displays God's gentleness, His goodness, and His love, and His kindness toward us is the role that God has displayed in motherhood. And so we're going to look at that a little bit and see how God displays this wonderful goodness of His gentleness and kindness to us through motherhood, through one of the ladies in the church that we are studying, that we have been studying over the last week. The book of Philippians. We're looking at the letter of Philippians, right? And we're going to look at one lady who was a part of that church family in the city of Philippi. Actually, the very first believer in the city of Philippi and the actual very first believer of Europe. And we're going to take a look at that story. And from this person, we're going to take a look at. So we're going to take a look at a map real quick, because I think it's important for us to be able to kind of see. If you're like me, I like to look at maps to kind of see where I'm at, where I'm going, and kind of get a good context. Because sometimes we read these names and we have no idea what they're talking about. They're just a random name, right? And so we're going to take a look at a map real quick to kind of help us to understand what we're talking about. This is actually, and we're going to give you a little bit of a backstory. So Paul was in his second missionary journey. He had started a bunch of churches in Galatia back in his first missionary journey. And so on his second missionary journey, he wants to go back and kind of visit those churches in Galatia and maybe kind of go a little bit east to the region of Asia. Not what we think of as Asia, but back in the Bible times, this was described as Asia, which is the western part of Galatia. So Paul and his group of men that are going with him are going over through Galatia and the regions, and the Holy Spirit keeps stopping them, keeps them from going, and keeps pushing them further and further west. And so they're keeping going west, and finally they get to the very western region of the Galatian Asian region, right? And there's no further for them to go. And through a vision, God pushes them past where they were intending to go to the region of Macedonia. As they get into Macedonia, one of the first cities that they go to is this city of Philippi. And so Philippi is where they go to. And this is where we're going to pick up into our passage of scripture. We're going to look at Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. From the very time that they enter into Philippi and kind of see what happens as they go into the city. It's really an interesting, unique city that they go to. And the situation, which Paul normally does, is very different this time than how he normally evangelizes and reaches people through the cities that he's previously been to. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 12. This is where we're going to start. Acts 16, verse 12 says this. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. When I say a colony, when it's talking about a colony, it's basically talking about a Roman colony. A colony where basically Rome has given it the status of being part of Rome. And this is interesting, because that means a lot of Roman aspects, Roman culture is in this city. So from thence to Philippi, which is the chief part of Macedonia and the colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So they were there for a couple of days, kind of just figuring out what to do, which is interesting because here's Paul. And the first couple of days they were there, they were probably wondering why they were there. And there's a reason for that. Usually, Paul's modus operandi, I think is what you would call it, his typical operating procedure, I guess, is that when Paul goes to a city, the first thing he does is he goes to the Jewish synagogue. And from there, he reminds, and remember, Paul, one of the things Paul said is to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. The reason is Paul will go to the synagogue first and declare the gospel of Jesus to the Jews. And then from there, after he would go visit the synagogues, then he would go on to share that gospel with the Gentiles that were in the city. In Philippi, he couldn't do that because there was no synagogue. The reason for that were there weren't enough Jews to have a synagogue. The rule was that you had to have at least 10 Jewish men in order to start a Jewish synagogue. In the city of Philippi's case, there weren't enough men. Probably, and the Bible doesn't say this, so we're not sure, but probably because there was a lot of persecution, it being a Roman colony, and there being a lot of persecution at that time, specifically toward Jews. What we do know is that there were some Jews there, and they were gathering, but not in a synagogue. Let's look at verse 13, where we find the story continuing. And on the Sabbath, verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Here we see a group of Jewish women who was gathering together on the riverside because there weren't enough of them. There was just a small handful of women who decided that regardless of the fact that they had a synagogue or not, they were going to continue together. They were going to take the Sabbath day and remember the Sabbath day and gather together and pray. I'm sure pray for not only the persecution that they were going through, but also for the different things going on around them. These ladies had no place to gather except by the riverside. And this is amazing. They were still faithful. They were still willing to follow after their Heavenly Father and follow after God. One of the ladies in this group is a very unique lady, and her name is Lydia. Lydia is also gathering together to meet with these Jewish ladies. But the interesting thing is that Lydia is not a Jew. And we'll see this in verse 14. Look with me. Verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, and of the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira is in the region of Galatia. It's kind of on the western side of actually Asia, where kind of Paul was really close to as he was traveling. This is where she's from. Thyatira is actually known for being a commerce city that deals a lot in purple. And this purple thing, and Lydia is described as a seller of purple. And this is kind of important for us to think about because when we think of clothing, we don't think of purple as being that, like, unless purple is your favorite color, of course. But we don't see purple as an extremely unique blend of colors nowadays. But back in the day when all they had were natural dyes and pigments to work with, the color purple was actually a very, very expensive and very hard to get dye, a very hard to get color of clothing. Lydia was a seller of purple. In context, she was selling high-end clothing. What you and I might think of is kind of like maybe like the only fancy clothing I can think of is like Louis Vuitton or something like that, right? And so she was like the Louis Vuitton of Philippi. So she was like selling this fancy, fancy purple colors that was really hard to get. Only rich people, only elite people wore purple back in the day. And so Lydia was a seller, a dealer, a clothier of purple clothes, which was a very, very high status job. And because Philippi was a colony in Rome, a lot of Romans went to Philippi to retire. And so it was a very up, very high society kind of a city. And so there's Lydia. She's a Gentile. She's selling clothes like a Louis Vuitton of Philippi. And yet the interesting thing is that we see her gathering at the river with a couple of other Jewish, with some Jewish ladies. And think about this context for a second. Here's this really high class, really high level, very elite seller of clothing gathering together with Jews who were not fondly looked upon in the city. Think about that for a second. Lydia is gathering together with these persecuted, with these shunned, with these kind of neglected Jewish ladies, and she is there to learn more about who this Jewish God, this God of Israel, is. So she's gathering there at the river, learning and seeing what she can and learning what she can about this God of Israel, because in her heart she knows that this is the one true God. Let's keep looking at what happens here. In verse 14, we continue to see, let me read it from the beginning, okay? Back in verse 14, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Think for a moment from the lady's perspective. They're gathering by the river. Lydia's there. She's joining them, and they're spending time in prayer and learning from the scriptures as best as they can. And while they're there, a certain group of guests, unexpected guests, comes to greet them. A man named Paul, his friend named Silas, a young man by the name of Timothy, and a doctor named Luke. These four men had gathered along the riverbank with them, sat down next to him, and started having a conversation with him. "Hey, do you guys understand what's going on? And we have some amazing news to share with you." And they started sharing with them the gospel of Jesus, the good news of God. And think about this from Lydia's perspective, as well as from the Jewish lady's perspective. God's love for them was amazing, and they understood that God was good and kind, but then we see it displayed in how he shared his love towards those ladies. You see, here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, as we as people, we try to do as good as we can. We try to live life in a way that would be pleasing to God so that God would accept us. And yet oftentimes we stumble and we go our own way. We get led astray by our own desires and our own temptations towards us. And God, knowing that we are not able to come to him in his perfection. In fact, the Bible says, suddenly the verse came to blank. Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who can follow after God. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see how we are all led away by sin, and we all fall for the sinful temptations that beset us. Yet God, in his goodness toward us and in his kindness towards us, comes to not that we have to go to him in his righteousness, but rather he in his righteousness comes to us in our sinful state. Think about what that means for a second. Jesus came to earth. He came to live among us. He faced every temptation that you and I face, and where we fall, Jesus didn't. He lived a life of perfection in a world of sin and sinners. And yet he never gave in to those sinful temptations. He lived the perfect life that you and I could not live. He lived the righteous life that was unable to be lived by us. And then Jesus sacrificed himself. He gave his life on the cross to pay for the sin debt that we owed. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He proved to us that he has life, and that that life that he gives goes beyond the grave, beyond death, and it goes on forever and ever. The amazing thing is that Jesus offers us this life. He takes our sin on himself, and he gives us his perfect righteousness. This is what Jesus shares with us. Jesus' sacrifice literally changed everything for us. Listen to what Paul said in another passage of scripture in Ephesians 2. This is what Paul describes, this sacrifice, this what Jesus shares with us because of his love for us. Ephesians 2, let's look at verses 4 through 8. It says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He summarizes it by saying this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." Paul was reminding these ladies who were gathered at the riverside, listen, what you're doing is good. What you're doing is great, gathering together and following after your Heavenly Father and obeying his word to the best of your ability. But as hard as we try, in ourselves, we are unable to reach the perfection of the Heavenly Father. And yet God has provided a way for us to receive his perfection. And he did it through the perfect, sinless life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in his loving kindness towards us, shares that perfection with you and with me and with Lydia and the Jewish ladies as well. Not because of what we are able to attain through our goodness, but yet rather what we receive through faith. And this is what Jesus provided to Lydia. It's interesting the way Paul describes how Lydia was able to receive the message that Paul was sharing. Verse 14 reminds us of this. Verse 14 says, she heard us whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Lydia received what Paul was saying. And she put her faith and her trust in God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus saved her that day, and she became a child of God. And all of the promises that we just read in Ephesians 2 became her future. Just like you today, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, can I tell you that Jesus loves you insanely? And I know I say insanely a lot, but it is true. He loves you so much. So much so that he was willing to leave heaven to live the life that you could not live so that you could be forever with your Heavenly Father in heaven. If not you do the best you can, not you live a life that is impossible for you to live, but rather through simple faith, through trust, believe in Jesus that his life was enough for you to become accepted by God. And if you, like Lydia, put your trust in him, so also your future will forever be sealed. And Ephesians 2, the promises that are in that we just read, are your promises too. You become accepted, a child of God, not because of your goodness, but because of Jesus' perfection, because of his righteousness, and because of his sacrifice for you on the cross. Lydia heard that message in it. Went right into her heart and she trusted in Jesus. From that point, everything changed about her. What Jesus had shared with her, his perfect righteousness that she received, the amazing thing is now she starts to share the things that she received from God and starts to share it with those around her. And this is basically her life. Her life story is sharing what she received from God. Look at verse 15, and we see the very beginning process of how Lydia shares what she received. Verse 15 says this, and when she was baptized, let's stop right there. Lydia was a child of God, and as a child of God, the first thing she did was she shared her faith. She shared her faith with those around her. She wanted to let others know that she was now a follower of Jesus because Jesus had saved her. Baptism wasn't for her salvation. It was because of her salvation. She was sharing the good news of Jesus. And here's how she was doing it. She was saying, as she was immersed in the water, I am going down into the water just like Jesus went down in the earth for 3 days for my salvation. But yet I have a future. When she comes up out of the water, she says, just as I am going to one day come up out of death, so also Jesus came out of death to resurrect. And he gives me that same resurrection because of his goodness to me. That is basically the testimony of salvation. It's a sharing of the good news with those around you. But she didn't just share her faith by being baptized. She also shared her faith with her family. Keep reading. Verse 15 says, "And when she was baptized and her household." It wasn't just her. It was also her household. She shared Jesus with her family, with her children, with those who were in her house. Moms, keep sharing your faith with your family at home. Keep reminding them of God's goodness of salvation. Keep sharing Jesus with your family. For Lydia's family, just as she gladly received the message of Jesus, so they also gladly received the message of Jesus. Maybe for your family, it'll take a little bit of time. It may take a long time for your family to receive the goodness of Jesus. But even if it does take time, keep sharing Jesus with your family. Don't stop. Keep sharing because his goodness, maybe one day God will open up their hearts so that they can receive the goodness of Jesus just as you have as well. Lydia's sharing didn't stop with sharing her faith. It didn't stop with sharing her faith with her family. She also started sharing her possessions with those around her. Verse 15, let's keep reading. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye..." This is amazing. This is really interesting. And there's a little backstory to this. But she says, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Can you kind of think about this little backstory, like this conversation that Paul and Lydia might have had? Lydia was like, "Oh man, I'm so glad that I've been able to receive salvation. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. And I would so love for you all to come stay at my house. My house is huge. I got plenty of room. Please, you and your three friends, come stay with us. It would be my honor." Paul's like, "Oh no, we can't do that." I'm like, my Japanese, like, no, "No, I can't do that. No, we can't do that. That's okay." And Lydia's like, "No, please, I insist." Like, no, that's okay. We'll find a place to stay in Philippi. It's a big city. And she's like, "Listen, if you think I'm a believer, you better make sure that you come stay with us because there's plenty of room and I believe in Jesus and I want to share what God has given me." She constrained us. Paul and his companions were like, "Okay, we will do that." And so they became, and so they were able to stay with Lydia. That had to be an interesting conversation, right? Lydia's home became a haven for the four men and for the whole church family. If you read through Philippians, through the rest of this chapter, you're going to find out that there were many other people who believed in Jesus in Philippi, and those people gathered together in Lydia's house. Her home became where the church family met. This is how God's grace flowed through her. She shared what God had with her. Just as the men had shared with her the good news of Jesus, so she shared that good news with those around her. Just as God had shared his heavenly home with her, so she also shared her home with her new family in Jesus. What she had been given, she simply shared it with those around her. This was her way of loving others as she was loved by Jesus. And it really became one of the characteristics of not only her, but her whole church family. All through the years Paul had been traveling, after Paul left Philippi and the church family became stable, and after Paul left Philippi to all different places around the region, it's interesting how many times this little church in Philippi helped to share the burden of the needs that Paul had carried. In fact, read with me. We are actually studying Philippians, and in one of the very end of the greetings of his letter, Paul reminisces this aspect of how the church family in Philippi shared so much of what they had. In fact, go with me, Philippians chapter 4. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. It says this: "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Basically saying, listen, you shared the burden of my affliction. And he says this, verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, when I left that region, no church communicated with me, no church walked with me, no church helped me as concerning giving and receiving." In other words, nobody gave to help me in my ministry, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul often received help that he needed from this Philippian church family. And I think part of the reason was because of Lydia. She probably had a lot to do with taking care of Paul and his group's physical and emotional and spiritual needs. Even there in Philippi, or even there in Rome, in the prison of Rome where Paul is writing this letter, the Philippian church family had sent Paul his physical needs, financial needs, as well as sending one of their own to help him to meet his needs and to care for him, to the point where that brother almost lost his life. And yet they were constantly caring for and sharing what they had so that the gospel could be shared and so that Paul's needs could be met. Why do I say this, and what does this have to do with Mother's Day? If you think about it, one of the characteristics of a mom is that she shares a lot, if you think about it. She shares her time with her kids. She shares her energy. If you're a mom, you know what I'm talking about. Spending time with your children, using up a lot of your energy caring for your children. Sometimes you even share your meal with your family. You share your energy, you share your love, everything you do as you share. It's important though that as you share though, you remember why you share. As a believer in Jesus, you share because of what was shared with you by your Heavenly Father in Jesus. He has shared so much with you. Be encouraged in that. Be reminded of the fact that as you share, you are able to because your Heavenly Father has been able to share so much with you. And don't forget that your Heavenly Father is constantly sharing with you. It's important to remember that. As you share your love, as you share your as you share the joy in your family, as you're patient with your family, be reminded that Jesus is also full of love, full of joy, full of peace, and full of goodness, and he shares that with you. It's in these times that we're together with family that sometimes that stress of being together, that constant sharing in and out all day long can remind us of how exhausting it can be. And when you get to that point, don't forget constantly to go to Jesus alone, to receive the strength, not only that you can share, but also so that you can receive what he shares with you. Receive the strength. Receive the peace, receive the joy and the patience that he freely shares with you. Don't forget your time alone with him. Leave him, give him your worry and your stress, and let him be that anchor for you. Remember what Jesus said? He said this in Matthew 11. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sometimes we need rest, don't we? Jesus gives it to us. He shares it with us. When we take our burden and give it to him and take his burden on us. Why is taking Jesus' burden on us a burden of rest? Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mom, as you share, don't forget to receive. Don't forget to take time alone to spend with Jesus as he shares his goodness with you, as he shares his love and his kindness towards you. There is no one like Jesus. And there is no one who can meet the needs that you have like Jesus can. Don't forget to go to him as your children shamelessly and boldly come to you and say, "Mom, can you help me with this? Mom, I need this." So also you go to your father and say, "Father, I need this. Father, can you help me with this? Father, can you give me peace? Because I am full blown out of peace. I need peace." This is where you come to your father alone and spend time with him in his word so that he also gives you peace, rest, joy, and renews your love for one another. This is what God offers to you. And in so doing, you can respond by sharing what is given to you. I pray that during this Mother's Day, as you remember of God's goodness to you, remember how good God is towards you, that you don't forget that you're not to do this on your own, but rather go to Jesus constantly and continually so that you can receive so that you can share. This is God's goodness to us. He reminds us of his kindness, of his gentleness towards us in sharing constantly, continually, where his resources never run dry. We can always boldly come to the throne of grace where we know that our Heavenly Father gives us the things that we need so that we can grow in grace, grow into the image of the one who saved us. If you're not a Christian today, I hope and I pray that you would put your faith in Jesus. Be reminded that it is not how good you are, but it was how perfect Jesus was for you, which is what God accepts. So trust him for it. Don't try to be worthy of God's acceptance, because God's acceptance is not through you, it's through Jesus. He offers it freely to you. He shares it with you. And you, just as your children, trust in you and fully and boldly receive what you offer them, so also you fully and boldly receive what Jesus offers you by trusting in him, simply asking him for the grace of salvation, and he will share it with you. Mom, brother and sister, let's constantly and continually remember all of the goodness that Jesus shares with us. Let's go to him to receive it, and let's go around to share it as well.